Hey, top of the day to you. It's Thursday, January 25th, 2024. My name is Mike. You have found the Tautua Podcast. Generally, we try to get together on a daily basis for a few minutes, maybe longer. And that's been our New Year's resolution. We didn't get started till what, middle of the month, you know, getting these podcasts out. But here we are. Want to remind you, if you are listening, you found our podcast, we ask that you subscribe, maybe give us a thumbs up, give us a five-star rating, leave a nice comment if you wish. It just helps us to grow. Now, if you have found the podcast and maybe you want to find it on YouTube, well, we do post the podcast on YouTube. Occasionally, we will post a video of the podcast on YouTube. This was not going to be a video podcast. Didn't get the video set up and going this morning, but we are getting the audio going. And it will be up on YouTube later today as well. But you can find our podcast on pretty much any podcast app. Just do a search for Tautua, T-A-L-T-O-A. And there we will be. Tautua is a transportation and logistics training and consulting firm. Been around for over 25 years. And we have continually helped businesses such as freight brokers, trucking companies, hot shots, individuals wanting to become freight brokers, freight broker agents, and now we are even assisting independent truck dispatch services. If you want to become a truck dispatcher independent, yeah, we have a very in-depth manual on our website, tautua.com, truck dispatch training. Matter of fact, we're putting together a program to do some live and on-demand training that you can have access to. But anyway, that's down the road. It's taken a long time to put that together, a lot longer than we expected. What are we talking about today? Well, I peruse the industry magazines, trucking magazines. Landline is one of them. Landline is published pretty much by OIDA. At least they back them. And as you know, if you've been around this podcast any amount of time, you know that, yeah, sometimes, you know, pat them on the back. Other times I totally disagree with whatever they're saying. And this is going to be one of those times. OIDA has been pushing for what they are calling broker transparency for eons. And the other day they put an article up, what, yesterday, day before? And I'll give the guy credit, John Bendel. The title of the article is A Sneak Attack on Broker Transparency. John Bendel, he's a contributing editor at large for Landline. It says on his bio, he's a former trucker, former editor at National Lampoon, and two trucking magazines. He's an author, photographer, and freelancer. It says here his work has appeared in the New York Times, Washington Post, and many other newspapers. So, yeah, he's got cred. He's got street cred. But he's got a lot of opinion, and that's what we're going to be talking about. He wrote an article about Jeff Tucker, the TI of the TIA. Jeff testified at a committee hearing in D.C. last week titled The State of Transportation. Tucker testified on behalf of the Transportation Intermediaries Association as a former TIA board chair. Tucker is also CEO of Tucker Company Worldwide, a respected 60-plus-year-old freight broker based in New Jersey. Tucker said he's here primarily representing freight brokers who focus on surface transportation within North America. And John, he was nice to put in here that Tucker was bragging on brokers so lavishly. You might think they were the entire transportation industry. So you kind of see where this article is going. No matter what's said, John is not going to go for it. Obviously, he thinks, just like what it is, and this has been what I've experienced, my own experience, my opinion over the years, whenever OIDA has wanted to, you know, really push that membership drive, they start blaming brokers for everything. So Tucker's up there testifying at this committee in D.C. And, you know, what do they do when they testify? He's going to talk about his side. That's generally what they're doing. Just like when OIDA, whenever they testify, it's always OIDA this, OIDA that. So what, right? You come to expect that. But, John, give me a break, man. All you're doing is just trashing brokers. Nothing a broker does is right. And I've got a question for you. Let's see. People who, John writes, people who didn't know better might think freight brokers drove trucks into the toxic air around the wreckage of the World Trade Center after 9/11 and into the danger zone around Three Mile Island when no one was sure what was going to happen there. Give me a break. Nobody would ever think that, John. You'd have to be an idiot to think that, John. He goes on to say he gets it, though. Tucker isn't the first guy to overstate his cause or overstate his case before a congressional committee, as OIDA has done over and over and over. And he went on to say that Tucker did not overstate the statistics about the size of the freight broker industry, which has been growing like an aggressive tumor. Oh, that's his words, John's words. The freight broker industry has been growing like an aggressive tumor. He didn't have to, he says. They're impressive enough and scary. Tucker pointed out the size of the $232 billion logistics industry, which he said accounts for approximately 1 in 4 freight dollars spent. He added that there are 350,000 trucking companies with 3.5 million drivers, also noting today there are more than twice as many trucking companies as a decade ago. Of course there is. We could probably go back 5 years and find that a lot of those trucking companies started coming up around COVID time. Now, John goes on to say what he did not say, what Tucker did not say, was that during the same time, the number of freight brokers more than doubled from 7,500 in 2009 to more than 16,000 in 2018. And he's complaining about too many brokers. Give me a break. Too many hamburger stands, John? How about it? Too many pizza parlors, John? Too many grocery stores, John? You know, it's competition. You know, it's what this country is based on. People starting their own business. Those who are the best survive. The others kind of float away. Now, you don't like the idea of this many brokers. I see OIDA out there doing these, they do these owner-operator workshops. And the ones I see, the workshops I see when I look over the descriptions, and if I'm wrong, I'll be the first to say I'm wrong, but the descriptions I see whenever OIDA does one of these workshops, and maybe Landline putting them on, but I think it's OIDA for their membership. It goes through their talk, telling them how to get their own authority, what to do, how to do this, blah, blah, blah. But nothing, never. I believe I've even seen one that said how to work with brokers during that workshop training. But I've never, ever seen Landline or OIDA, and again, I could be wrong, but I've never personally seen any of these workshops talking about how to find your own freight. I'm not talking about find your own freight, really. I'm talking about how to find your own customers. Why is that? You know, John, a broker is the most misused tool in transportation there is. I've always said that. A freight broker should be used by a trucking company for backhauls only. And when I say backhauls, take into consideration what I am actually stating is to help a trucking company relocate their equipment to a destination they need that truck to be. Now, if a trucking company is set up properly, operating their business as a business, they have their own customers. Generally, a small trucking company, and let's face it, most trucking companies out there today are small. They're small. And when I say small, it's under 250 trucks. Most of these trucking companies, or all of them that are operating their business correctly, profitably, they have sought out their own customers near the base of their operation. So let's say they have, this trucking company is based in Texas. They have sought out customers near the base of their operation that they go sit down across the table. They negotiate a contract with that customer. I mean, when I say negotiate a contract, that contract's going to be for a 12-month period. Going to be talking about fuel surcharges, detention time, anything that's going to be part of that contract, financially and otherwise, is going to be included and agreed to. Line haul, that's the base transportation charge to move a load from point A to point B before anything's added to it. Fuel surcharge added to it. Detention time added to it. Rules of detention time added to it. Lumper fees added to it. Tolls added to it. You get the idea. They've sat down across the table because that's where the trucking company is going to be making the most money, is through a negotiated contract with their own customer. The contract gets signed. Everything's in place. Their customer has a load going to, I don't know, let's say Georgia. They're in Texas. The load's going to Georgia. They get to Georgia. They unload. What do you think that trucking company wants to do? They want to get back to Texas, back to their base of operations as quickly as possible to service their own customer, their customer where they're making the big bucks. This is when they will use a freight broker, or should be. It's a convenience for the trucking company to get their truck reloaded quickly because, yes, time is critical when it comes to transportation. The quicker they can get that truck back to their base of operation and pick up another one of their customers' loads, high-paying loads, the more money they're going to make. There's only 365 days in a year, 12 months, 7 days in a week. If they have to sit around 2 or 3 days, well, that's money, that's time lost, money they're not going to be able to make during that time because they're sitting. And as a matter of fact, that truck is actually costing that trucking company money because it's not making money. Just because a truck's sitting, maybe at a truck stop or in front of somebody's house, that truck is costing money. That meter never stops ticking on a truck. So a broker would, or a trucking company would use a broker to assist them with getting a load that would get them back to their base of operation, or Texas in this case, quicker. And yes, they're willing to give up money for that convenience. Yeah, well, you may be saying, well, why don't they just find their own customer in Georgia? Well, they could do that. But maybe their customer they get in Georgia, it's going to, you know, loads going to Pennsylvania or Florida. You're going the wrong direction. They need to get back to their customer base. A trucking company knows. They should know how many customers they can service because of the amount of freight coming from those customers and things like that. So why would they want to take a customer in Georgia to get further away from where they need to be? That makes sense? So they want a backhaul. That's when they're going to be using a broker. What has happened over the years is so many trucking companies have come up with the idea of using a broker as a dispatcher. Matter of fact, we got a video up somewhere. Check it out on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Taltoa. We got a video in there somewhere talking about the cost. If you're a trucking company using a broker 100% of the time, there is a cost involved. That cost is costing you money. A broker, as a rule, and we talked about this yesterday, day before, generally, 15%. That's what they're making on a load. So if the load pays $1,000, broker's getting $150. Now, that's not always the case. And, John, I'm sorry if you don't like this, but if a load is paying the broker $4,000 to go from point A to point B, and the market says that load is paying $2,000 to go to point A to point B, why should the broker give the truck $3,500? Well, that's the right thing to do. Well, this is business, John. I just wonder, John, if the trucking company came across that, they found their same customer, and they've been moving the same load for $2,000 from point A to point B, but that customer's paying $4,000. Is the trucking company going to step in and say, no, that's too much. No, that's too much. No, it's capitalism. It's what we do. It's business. It's business. Now you're not going to score a home run on every load, but you're going to make consistent money on every load, and that's what a broker's trying to do. You have to understand the broker is out here making the contacts. They are building the relationships. They're taking care of that customer. They're making sure the best they can that everything goes smoothly. The broker's the one that has put the time and money and effort into cultivating that customer, not the trucking company. This is what trucking companies need to learn how to do. If you're a trucking company and you're working with a broker for more than 50% of your loads, you need to take a step back and look at your operation. I talk to trucking companies weekly, and it never fails to hear them say, yeah, I get my brokers from, or I get my loads from brokers. I ask them, do you have any customers? Yeah, I got customers. And they start naming off their customers. And you know who their customers are? Brokers. That's not a customer. A broker is not a customer of a trucking company. Yeah, we're here to help you. A broker is almost like a temp service, you know? Yeah, we're temporarily helping you get a load so you can get back to where you need to be. So let's stop all this nonsense. He goes on through here. He's talking about good brokers. He says, and I'm sure Tucker's company's a good one. He provides a necessary service. Oh, we're necessary, but not wanted. Hey, the easiest way to get rid of truck brokers or freight brokers, if you don't want freight brokers, get your own customers. Get your own customers. He goes on, and according to Tucker, more than 2,000 are members of the TIA, talking about freight brokers. There are many who aren't, though, including some who are not licensed. Okay, John. Unlicensed freight brokers. Why don't you name me a few of those? I'd like to hear. And if they're unlicensed freight brokers, why are trucking companies dealing with them? Do they not do their due diligence? Do they not vet the broker before accepting a load? I understand there's fraud out there. People can doctor up documents using the tools available today. I've seen the scams. I know how they work, but it becomes a matter of vetting. So the broker sent you paperwork and it's got a phone number on that paperwork. You call the phone number, yeah, it's that broker. How do you know it's that broker? Look them up. Go to the Safer Web. Look up their MC number. The phone number registered to that MC number will be on that broker's page. Call that number, not what the number was they gave you. Call the number that's listed on their FMCSA snapshot page. That's how you verify. Contact the insurance company, or you know, if the broker has insurance and they made it available to you, which 9 times out of 10 they're not. They shouldn't. It'll be made available to the customer, obviously. But vet. Check them out. Don't just assume, hey, they got the paperwork. Here's all their documentation, blah, 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 blah. You've got to vet. Brokers vet. Matter of fact, that's why, you know, in our training with our new clients, we go over that heavily. How to vet a carrier, how to make that phone call, how to double check, how to make sure you're not being double brokered. Why doesn't trucking companies do that? Why, instead of complaining about brokers, why are you not, and I'm not talking about you, John, specifically, but why is your organization not teaching your membership how to protect themselves? We got to. Brokers have to. And I'll be honest with you, I totally respect OIDA. John, I've read a lot of your stuff before too, and now you got a slant to it, but always kind of respected it. But this is stupid. This is just trying to fuel the fire of something that's not really there, leading people down a make-believe road. Yeah, there's problems in brokering. I'll be the first one to admit it. There used to be brokers, folks. Back in the day, they would set up in a hotel room for a week, broker all the freight they could, get paid, never pay the truck, and disappear. Yeah, that's how it used to be. Back in the day, before fax machines, computers, the truck stops were where the broker sat. Trucking company would know that truck is going to be at a certain location a certain day. They tell the driver, okay, when you get empty, go to this truck stop, check in, and wait. When that broker had found the truck to load, they would be in the same room waiting. No cell phones, remember. They'd be sitting there. ABC Trucking, got a load going to Ohio. Come get your paperwork. That's the way it used to be done. I got to experience probably one of the last brokerages that worked that way. It was up in, I want to say, north of Cincinnati. And it was really cool. It was like stepping back in time. And I went in there and hung out for a little bit just to see, just a big, somebody sitting behind a desk at the front of the room, chairs all over the room, people waiting, those that were still doing it the old way. But anyway, the point is, brokers and trucking companies have got to get along. And you know, it's hardly ever the big trucking companies that have problems with brokers. It's the small trucking companies. The small trucking companies that don't think they're being paid a fair share. They think they're being ripped off all the time. No, they're not being ripped off. And, you know, but my point is, if you don't like the rate a broker is paying, just say no. No. Just say no. You know, I can't tell you the number of times that I had a load. I use an example. I'm just using easy numbers here. I paid $1,000 and it was going 800 miles. I did not have money in that load to drive, give the truck more. I wish I would have. I would have gladly done it. The customer is telling the broker what they're paying. We have to go by their numbers, yes. Sometimes we can negotiate them up. Not always. As long as there's somebody out there that's going to haul that load for a buck a mile, the customer is not going to pay more. They just won't do it. So we get back to this capacity available freight problem. Yeah, we're working our way through it, and hopefully we'll be through it before long. But currently, the capacity is way more than the available freight. All right, I'll get off my soapbox. I saw that this morning when I was perusing the magazine websites. Nothing personal, John. I just think your story's a little slanted one way. And your disdain for brokers really shines through. For being an editor at large, well, maybe it should be an opinion piece, not a story. Hey, today's January 25th. Today is Clashing Clothes Day, Fluoride Day, Fish Taco Day, Irish Coffee Day. What kind of Irish coffee do you like? A little bit of Bailey's, maybe? Opposite Day, Women's Healthy Weight Day. William Colgate, born on this day back in 1783, founded the Colgate Palmolive Company. Edwin Newman, remember him on NBC? He was born on this date back in 1990. Dean Jones, he was on all the Disneys, the Shaggy, D.A., that darn cat, Love Bug, he was always in the Love Bugs. He was born on this day back in 1931. Anything else going on today? Man, we got a lot of stuff. Jim Harbaugh is leaving the national champion Wolverines. He accepted the head coaching job for the Los Angeles Chargers. He's ready to get to warm weather. Looks like Dolly Parton is teaming up with Duncan Hines to offer her own line of food, including frozen, refrigerated grocery and snack items inspired by down-home comfort cuisine. Could she be the new Paula Deen? All right, here's one for you. This is going to set the world on fire. It's going to be a run on the banks, I promise you. There are 154 pennies in a pound of copper. 154, that's $1.54. The copper has jumped to $3.78 a pound. Yeah, do the math. eBay's cutting 1,000 jobs, or 9% of its workforce. And I don't know why. Have you ever noticed some of these actors and actresses come out? Yeah, I auditioned, or I could have got that role, or whatever. Jodie Foster's up. She says she was offered the role of Princess Leia in Star Wars, but she had to turn it down because she was under a commitment to a Disney film. And I'm sure that's true, but it's hard for me to picture Jodie Foster as Princess Leia. I think Carrie Fisher, that she was Princess Leia. What is that? Home Improvement, Tool Time, whatever. Al? The guy that was supposed to play Al originally. Who was that guy? I got to look it up now. Got to look at him. Hold on. He was in, he's been in a lot of stuff. He's a good actor. What was he? He was in Deadwood. He was in, Bill Murray movie. Groundhog Day. Hold on, I'll find it. Groundhog Day. Yeah, I'm in Groundhog Day. He was the insurance guy. That hugged Bill every time he saw him walking by, pretty much. Stephen Tobolowsky. He was set to play Al, and I just cannot see that guy being Al on Home Improvement. It just been a whole different different world. All right. We are going to get out of here. We've been here. I've been on my soapbox enough. Anyway, it's Thursday. Go have a great Thursday, unless, of course, you've made other plans. We will talk soon. See you later. Hey, how you doing? I'm Mike. I'm the host for the Tautoa podcast and the lead consultant for Tautoa. Tautoa is a transportation and logistics training and consulting firm, and we work with freight brokers, freight broker agents, independent truck dispatchers, all types of trucking companies, you name it, we're there. It's transportation, right? If you're a new start at brokerage or maybe an agent, maybe you're thinking about starting your own freight brokerage or becoming a freight broker agent or independent truck dispatcher, well, I hope you'll take a few minutes to visit our website at tautoa.com. That's TALTOA.com. We have multiple training options that include consulting that will fit any budget and pretty much any need you may have. As a matter of fact, your first training session is on us. It's free. And it's available on our website. Again, Tautoa, TALTOA.com. Now, if you have any questions, feel free to call me. 479-668-0838.